Hello and welcome to Newsline on Radio Netherlands Worldwide with me, Marijke Peters. Coming up in today's programme, the Dutch Prime Minister resigns after a disastrous election defeat, whilst populist Geert Wilders and his Freedom Party come out fighting.
Bring battering rams with you, because starting tomorrow, we're going to give them hell.
And life sentences follow historic Srebrenica genocide convictions. First, everyone knew the Dutch elections were going to be a close race, and they ended up in a nail-biting finish, with the two biggest parties tied on an equal number of seats for much of the night. But in the end, the right-wing VVD party sneaked into first place, taking 31 seats against Labour's 30. Here's VVD leader Mark Rutte.
Mensen.
Wat een... People, what a special evening and exciting. It looks as though for the first time in our history, the VVD is the largest party in the Netherlands.
Well, despite coming second, Labour leader Job Cohen said he was pleased with the results. He'd been struggling during the election campaign and the party did better than expected.
Wat ontzettend veel mensen dachten...
Lots of people thought, that's it for the Labour Party. The Labour Party's written off. Well, here we are.
Here zijn we.
The big losers of the night were the Christian Democrats, who suffered an historic defeat, losing 20 of their 41 seats. In an emotional speech, Prime Minister Jan-Peter Balkenende made the announcement many had been expecting.
De uitslag... van deze verkiezingen is zeer.
The results are very, very disappointing. They're a blow. These results are also very clear, and that means I must accept my responsibility. I've informed our party chairman that I'm resigning as party leader.
Partijleiderschap direct neerleg.
Outgoing Prime Minister Jan-Peter Balkenende there. Well, while the Christian Democrat defeat surprised no one, what was unexpected was the size of the victory scored by Geert Wilders' Freedom Party. Having shot up from 9 to 24 seats, his is now the third largest party in the Dutch Parliament. Speaking to raucous supporters, the far-right populist said it was a glorious day for the entire country. And he left the other party leaders in no doubt about his readiness to make an impact on Dutch politics.
And I say to all the newly elected Freedom Party MPs of our beautiful party, bring battering rams with you, because starting tomorrow, we're going to give them hell.
The beuk erin.
Well, earlier I spoke to our political correspondent, John Tyler, and I asked him whether Mr. Wilders is likely to be able to join a coalition government.
At the moment, it looks like he won't be joining a coalition government, and that's only because other parties to the centre-right didn't do well enough to form a coalition in the Netherlands, and that's, of course, the normal way of doing things. No party ever gets an outright majority by themselves. You need more than half of 150 seats, so that's 76 or more. Well, the centre-right coalition that Geert Wilders might have been able to join would be the Liberal VVD, which came out on top in this election, plus Geert Wilders, plus the Christian Democrats of former Prime Minister, or soon-to-be former Prime Minister, Jan-Peter Balkenende. Well, the Christian Democrats did so poorly that that coalition only gets to 76 seats, and that's not considered very stable.
He's obviously a force to be reckoned with, whether or not he joins a coalition. Was the only reason that he did so well because of the popularity of his anti-Islam stance, or was there something else as well?
Well, there really is something else. I mean, he hammers home the anti-Islam and anti-immigrant policy as often as he can. He was even sort of laughed at during the campaign for bringing immigration into every single question anyone ever asked him. But among his supporters, I mean, 1.5 million people voted for his party in this election. And there certainly is more going on. This is more of an anti-establishment vote or a vote from people who feel disenfranchised as it is purely anti-immigrant. Now, anti-immigration, integration issues, issues about too much Islam, they certainly are a factor, and a significant amount of his support feel that there is too much, just like Geert Wilders does, too much Islam. But I think even more so, they feel left out of the system. They feel that the national government doesn't represent them. And that's why they like Geert Wilders.
Now, there are various options for a coalition government. How long is it going to take, and what are those options?
Well, the most obvious coalition right now, or the one that they're probably going to attempt first, would be the Liberal VVD, which won, joining with the Labour Party, which is very, very close second, and then joining with two smaller parties, D66 and the Green Left. And it's what they call a purple plus coalition, because purple is if you join the red of Labour and the blue of the Liberals. It's not the most obvious combination. So this purple plus is probably what they'll try first. There are a couple of other options, though. There's the right wing option with the Liberal VVD, the Christian Democrats, and Geert Wilders, but that doesn't quite get a very stable majority. One other option is what they would call a national unity government, and that's joining the top three parties together. But it's not clear that people are ready to try to take that step. That would be fairly radical for Dutch politics to have those three rivals all in one cabinet.
And it's going to be fairly difficult, whatever they decide to do, isn't it?
It's going to be very difficult, and there's a sense of urgency. Mark Rutte said he wants a cabinet in place by July 1st. That's not going to happen. That's never happened so quickly in the Netherlands. But because the budget cycle is coming, cuts are so important, and they want to get it going in the next budget, there's a big sense of urgency. I think you're going to see, talking through the night for the next couple of weeks, probably a government during the course of July.
Our political correspondent John Tyler speaking to me shortly before we came on air there. And there is, of course, much more on those election results on our website at address www.rnw.nl. And if you've got any thoughts on the outcome of that vote, please do get in touch. We'd love to hear from you. Our email address is newsline@rnw.nl. And a reminder, if you've just tuned in, you're listening to Newsline on Radio Netherlands Worldwide from Hilversum. Now, an international criminal tribunal in The Hague has sentenced Vujadin Popovic and Labisha Biara to life in prison for committing genocide during the 1995 Srebrenica massacre. It's the first time the court has convicted anyone of the offence. The two were among seven former military and police officers to be jailed, with other sentences ranging from 5 to 35 years. Up to 8,000 Bosnian Muslim men and boys were killed when the Serbs overran Srebrenica, which was being protected by Dutch peacekeepers. Our reporter Sebastian Gottlieb was in the court. Newsline's Johan van Sloter asked him if these men were significant figures.
Well, concerning Srebrenica, they were. They were all accused of the genocide in Srebrenica, where in 1995 almost 8,000 Muslim men were killed. And the biggest fish, you could say, were Popovic and Bejara. And another important man was Drago Nikolic. He got 35 years and also accused of genocide, like the other two.
And why did they receive these life sentences? What did the judge have to say about that?
Well, he explained really thoroughly how they organized this genocide in Srebrenica. It was well planned. Everybody was having a special task. You need a lot of logistic to kill 8,000 people. So there has to be buses. The women and the children has to be taken away. So the accusation of genocide, of course, is really severe one. It's the biggest crime in the world. And what he said, the judge, was that there were actually two joint criminal enterprises. And the first one had to do with the murder of all the Bosnian men, the Muslim men. Mm-hmm. And the second joint criminal enterprise was with the purpose of forcibly remove all the women and children from Srebrenica. So lots of the accused were committed to these two joint criminal enterprises, he explained to us.
Now, of course, there are more court cases at the tribunal, for instance, and most notably against Radovan Karadzic. If we look at this court case, can you predict anything on the outcome of the Karadzic case?
Well, you would expect him to be sentenced for genocide also, because he was the superior of these people who got sentenced. So I guess with the evidence they gathered in this case, they should be able to convict Karadzic also for genocide. But that still has to be seen, of course.
Our correspondent Sebastian Gottlieb there. But that's all the time we have on this edition of Newsline. From me, Marijke Peters. Thanks for listening.